Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Estadio Unidos. Let there be Spanish. United States. Immigration was a massive, huge. It was huge. This election season. It really was the catalyst that kicked off Donald Trump's wave of enthusiasm and excitement and really spearheaded his entire campaign. And the word "the wall" had nothing to do with Pink Floyd and all to do with the Donald. Sanctuary cities. Don't believe in them at all. Sanctuary campuses. Don't believe in them at all. But there's a little caveat there. And there's a little something. I want everybody to understand this. And I want you to just soak this up. I am not a open borders person, but I am a person who is realistic about the world that we live in. And I've said this over and over again, and I know a lot of you kind of, you're not quite sure how to take it. They're not quite sure because, you know, you've got this group of people, and there is a loud, boisterous group of people with inside the Trump ranks and that are followers of his that are somewhat, dare I say, fans as much as they are voters of his, who they love the idea of throwing everybody out of here. They love the idea of closing up the borders and building a wall. They love the idea of these things. I get that. Trust me, I get that 110%. I understand why some people feel that way. Having grown, and it's funny because a lot of these people aren't the kind of people you think. And by that, I mean, they're people where maybe there isn't the kind of illegal immigration that I grew up with and that I live in. I live in Southern California. I've spent a good majority of my life here. When I did immigrate to a country, the UK, the England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Ireland, even though it's not part of, you know, Great Britain. When I did it in such a way that it was legal and it took a lot of work and it was very expensive and it wasn't an easy thing. And I came over there with a special skill set, not just somebody who could hammer a nail. Not that that's not a special skill set, but I, you know, for every one person that can hammer a nail, there is, you know, a tenth of a person like me, if even that. I mean, you know, so, and for a lot of these countries, that's what they look for. What are you bringing to the table? And I say this because we as a nation, yes, we're immigrants. We are. We have an identity. We need to recognize that. That's what I think the left misses a lot, is we as a nation have an identity, and we should embrace it. We should recognize it. But the thought process of rounding up 15 plus million people, 12 million people, 20 million people, whatever insanity that somebody throws out there, it's not going to happen. I want to tell you that now, that it's not going to happen. And I don't want you to freak out about it. I don't want you to lose your mind over it. I don't want you to think it's not. And by the way, if we're serious about this, and I mean serious, and we want to actually do, this is the thing I love about people is like, it's like climate change. If the world is really coming to an end in 8 years and everybody's going to be underwater, and but we have the chance to reverse it, baby steps is not the way to go. It's not. Like, if they told you today, you have a year to live unless you cut out this, this, and this from your life. Otherwise, 365 days from now, you're gone. I'm going to lay money that you're going to make those changes. I'm going to lay money that you're going to make those changes. Immigration is the same thing. If we really want to fix immigration, there's an easy fix. If we really want to fix immigration, the fix is simple. Stop going after the people that are here illegally. Go after the business owners that employ them. Crack down on them hard. The jobs will dry up. People will go home. There's your wall. It's as simple as that. But it's never been about that. For the left, it's been about bringing people here that's a permanent underclass that will always vote for them. For the right, it's about cheap labor. That's what it is. I look at the human side of stuff. My grandfather's from Mexico. Born and raised. Speaks English well, but with a very thick accent. I love him to death. When this whole thing was going on with Donald Trump, and my grandfather's very conservative. Strong Christian roots, very conservative man, reads his Bible every day. It upset him. It did. It upset him. Very much so. When my uncle just got married about 6-8 weeks ago, I went, my grandfather, we hung out all night and we were talking, and we were talking a lot about this, and it was very upsetting to him. And he understands, because he did it the right way, but he understands the plight of people. And we've been down there on numerous occasions together, not just like, hey, we're going to Tijuana. I mean, we've been to the deepest, darkest parts of Mexico, and I see the plight. And if I had kids, or I had a mother or a family, and the opportunity to take a trip, sometimes precarious, to get to a situation where you could cross a small body of water or just sneak across an invisible border and land in a place where there was essentially the streets are paved with gold comparatively to where you come from, and the opportunity to help your family, further yourself, and give yourself opportunities, who wouldn't do that? You'd be a fool not to. I would look at you and say you're a fool for not doing that. So I can look at it from the humane side of things. Have empathy. I can. Absolutely. I see these kids screaming. They want sanctuary. Colleges, you know, these campuses should be sanctuary cities in themselves, where anybody that's here illegal is welcomed here, embraced with open arms, et cetera, et cetera. There's zero problem with that. I mean, I understand. I mean, you're young. This is what you're going to do. You're going to throw a fit. You're going to, but understand, you're pissed at the government may withhold funds for your college or the city you live in federally because they're not complying with law, yet you want the ultimate law in your world to be the government. So you're running into a wall there. You want your government made your way. It's not the way the world works. But I get it. I understand. Don't be surprised if Trump doesn't get the wall. You know, I read something the other day where Trump was surprised at the scope and the breadth of the job, the size of the job, the enormity of the job, the enormity of the responsibility on him. His time is no longer his own. I mean, the other night people were pissed because he went to dinner with his family after he told him that, you know, he, quote unquote, they put a lid on it. And so, you know, people were freaking out about this at the press corps because they all left and he went out later on and had dinner. The enormity of this job is huge. Don't be surprised that many of the things that he wants to do or promised to do, he doesn't get done. Some of it's beginning because he's going to get stuck in the world of political limbo. Other of it's going to realize that just doing something like this could be a major catastrophe. We have 12, 14, 16, 18 million people here that are here illegally. Chinese, Russian, Mexico, Central America, South America, from all over the world, but mostly from south of the border. There's a lot of the people that are here that have brought to our country a work ethic, a dream, a belief. They played by the rules. Yes, they broke the rule to get here, but once they got here, they have played by the rules as much as possible. And they've added something to our country. And there are people here that are murderers and rapists, and that's just true. They're running from somewhere else. Our murderers and rapists, the minute they get out of jail, they head for somewhere else, and usually it's Mexico. So what do we do? That's the big question. Sanctuary cities are going to have a showdown with Trump. Colleges are having troubles because they realize that this guy means business for some of this stuff. And they're going to get into a situation where they could lose funding, both the sanctuary cities and the colleges. This is going to be a showdown. And Trump's first political battle is going to be fighting with some of these places like New York City, like San Francisco, like Chicago, like Los Angeles, like many campuses out there that want to be sanctuary cities, but they also want the federal dollars, the power of the purse, right? It's the power of having the cash. Being the banker is a big thing. We'll see what happens. But what I will say is approach it from the reality that it's been a win-win so far for America. It doesn't mean we can't overdo it, which is what we have. But when they say they've got a way to fix this and it's by deporting everybody and it's by doing this, that, and the other, there are alternative ways that help us tremendously and benefit us by having people here who believe in the American dream, by having people here that will go back to the back of the line, will pay penalties, and will have an opportunity to contribute to society in a way where they're not hiding. Not that they hide that much, but I think they're worried now. And it's great because we're taking some of the best and the brightest from a lot of other countries who've come here for the opportunity, even though it may be illegal. But if we're serious about it, then we need to be serious. We need to enforce the laws. We need to work together as a country. But we also have to come to the realization and recognition that it's just the deporting everybody and building a wall isn't going to happen. We may build parts of walls. We maybe do a lot of these things. I've been to the border. They laugh about the idea of a wall. They think it's great because they think if we're building a wall, then we're going to enforce the law. So when we catch people, we'll have to send them back. That's what they're excited about. But they realize, as they've told us on numerous occasions, build me an 18-foot wall, I'll give you 19-foot ladder. If we're really serious in this country about stopping illegal immigration, then we crack down at the source of what makes them come here, which is the opportunity to work and make money. And you do that, people leave. But we're not serious. It's loud, it's rhetoric, it's a way to get your attention. Things will change. Don't get mad at Donald. Things are going to change along the way. He's already talking about Dreamers and some others getting an exemption to stay here. I think you'll find more of that. And I think if we can find a good fix, our country will benefit and other countries will lose because we'll get some of their best and brightest and we'll have people here that not only add to our economy, not only add to our culture, but also add to the fact that they believe in the American dream when many of us have kind of said, I don't know if I believe in that anymore. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Hey! People are texting in. Chad, you're all about open borders and global stuff and globally global. I've read something on a crazy site somewhere that says you can't do that kind of global stuff. Chad, you're being a jerk to people. I'm not. Just being honest. You know what? You can actually be somebody who has compassion and understanding for people. You can, right? You can have compassion for people. Or are we not allowed to do that in this country anymore? Are we not allowed to? Are we not allowed to have some compassion for people that have come elsewhere? I don't know. Crazy. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. Raymond in Texas, what's up?
No, not much. I, Chad, this is the second time I've heard your show. Apologize for not hearing you sooner. I just wanted to share. I'm from the South Texas border, long live resident of the Rio Grande Valley. And, sir, you are 100% on point of everything you're saying that's going on along the border. I can't believe how right you are on everything you're saying.
Well, I appreciate that, my man. I appreciate it. So you're out there in McAllen, Texas, and we were out there at KURV. We've been out there on several occasions. We like it. I love I love all the people there, and we're looking forward to coming out there again. And you're right along there. We went out there. We rode with the people down at the border, and we checked things out. And I don't think until you've been down there, and having grown up in Southern California and been near Mexicali and several places here, I don't think people understand what the border's like, and I think they miss the point. And that's why I say if we're serious about doing something, Raymond, then let's go to the – you know, let's take away the thing that makes them want to come here. But I think you know that nobody's really ever serious in politics about doing stuff.
Exactly. Not everyone's serious about doing stuff. And secondly, I think with the election, the way it turned out, there's some real changes coming, and it's going to be a positive thing, not only for the residents down here, but I think overall the whole country will feel the effects, probably less crime, probably the right people being here. And I have other views, but again, you're on point, sir.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that, Raymond. And thanks for listening out there. Beautiful KURV. Love it. I love it. Look, it's about being real. You know, I try to give you the truth, not, you know, not promises about stuff. I like to give you the truth. And I think this country has benefited, and I think we can continue to do so in a very smart way. And we need to weed out the bad people. There are bad eggs inside this bunch, and we need to make sure they're gone. We need to get them out of here as fast as possible. We need to enforce our laws, and we need to have a sovereign country. But there's going to be several different steps to getting this. It's not just we're going to capture everybody, throw them out, and build a wall, and everything will be fine. That's not the way this is going to work. And we're going to be throwing out some people that are going to add to our country. Let's be smart about it. Let's do it. Let's be smart about the way we do things. And I think you're going to find out that we will be smarter and there won't be knee-jerk reactions, and there's not going to be a lot of the things that Trump talked about, but there is going to be movement on immigration, and that is a welcome news. And I think it'll be beneficial for our country in a lot of ways. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. Tweetar, you can text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. That there be the text line. I went to court today. Wait to hear what I saw.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Hey, Phil, we got a shout out for you.
What's that?
Somebody shouted out something for you. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
You ready for this? As a former member of Kiss Army, thanks for playing this piece.
It's the only Kiss song I really like.
From Brian and Indy. You text the show 323-538-2423. 323.
Oh, I know, Brian.
2423. I gotta love that, man. Kiss Army. A little shout out to the Phil for being the man, spinning the hot stacks of wax right there. Oh yeah, baby, that's what you're doing. Fake news. I warned you guys yesterday about fake news. Did I not? Did I specifically? And I'm not talking about fake news anymore. Again, let's stop first of all. My bad, because it's not fake news. It's not. It is. It's propaganda. That's what it is. And I've warned you over and over again. Don't make me put you over my knee. All right? Can't do this anymore, kids. Serious. There are two things that are going on right now where propaganda is being spread. Lies trying to get people to gin them up from their sides of aisles. And I've warned you about it on numerous occasions. Look, just to show you, let me break this down for you. And I probably should have done this for you yesterday. And maybe for other audiences out there, this you're taking this because I know my audience was not a part of this. Because you guys are smarter than that. You guys and gals are bright. You're intelligent. You're open-minded. You're free thinkers. You don't buy into a lot of this stuff. This should be for some of the slower ones out there. Who just buy one party line listening to the radio all day and they soak it up and oh. But And it's not the first time that news has fooled people or something has fooled people. Dare I say there was a radio play, producer Phil, many, many moons ago on a Halloween night, read by an amazing director of our time that also had one of the greatest voices of our time, named Orson Welles?
That would be correct, sir.
Did portions of our country ignore the fact that going in and out of commercial break, it said this is a radio dramatization? But did people not freak out anyways?
People lost their mind.
Lost their mind. Flash forward many, many decades later, and we're still in a position where people buy into things they see without investigating because all they do is read a portion of the headlines. And I will tell you this, without naming names, in this radio industry, I listen to other hosts because I like to see what other people are talking about. What's the flavor of the day? And because I'm a fan of talk radio. I love talk radio. When I played soccer, even professionally, I would go down the street, even days when I didn't have a game, and the kids would be playing or there'd be an adult league going on, and I would watch it because I'm a fan of the sport. I enjoy it. But I'm a fan of talk radio. And I will listen, and I will see headlines on certain sites out there. And I will hear hosts talk about a headline as if it was the gospel. And I'll laugh because I'll check it, and it's just not. But they will so buy into it because they're lazy and they won't do research. They'll buy into a tweet. They'll buy into these kind of things. And I warned you yesterday. I did. Today, Donald Trump supporters are pissed off at Pepsi over something that never happened. Ever happened. Truthfeed and Gateway Pundit published fake quote from PepsiCo CEO Indira Nooyi saying Trump fans can take their business elsewhere when in truth, no such thing took place. No such thing took place. Ms. Nooyi never said that. In fact, she congratulated the president-elect on his victory, but condemned the ugly rhetoric of the campaigns. But people bought into it, calling for a boycott. 5% dip in the stock prices. On the left side of the aisle, the insanity that's going out there right now through many similar sites for the left of the registry and potential concentration camps for people here of Muslim defense, Muslim ethnicity, you know, of Middle Eastern. Oh, my gosh, you're Middle Eastern. You got to go in this thing. You got to register here. You're Muslim. This is your faith. Ooh, got to put you down here. It's not true. It's not true. Not true. People buy into it. They eat it up and they buy into it. And I told you yesterday, I warned you. And if you're going to Truth Feed or Heat Street or Gateway Pundit or any of these things, and this is where you're getting your news, shame on you. Shame. Well, every once in a while they get it right. Well, you know what? A broken clock is right twice a day. But I have a clock that works all the time, so I'll just go with that one. Insanity. I think to myself, who are these people? And I'll tell you who these people are, a lot of them. I went to court today because one of my besties in the world was having a custody issue. So I went to court because I support my friends. That's what I do. I support them through thick and thin. And at the courthouse today, I saw what buys into all of these things. Now, the dregs of society, maybe they weren't, but they had zero respect. I was sitting there looking at people that were getting ready to appear in court who, I kid you not, wearing socks with flip-flops, basketball shorts, tank top, hat flip backward. Jeans, too tight for the ladies. Half-cut shirt. Six-inch stiletto come me heels. Just zero respect for the potential of going in front of a judge for something. Insane. Listening to these people talk, I was amazed. And then I think to myself, these are the people that get fooled. These are. What happened to us? We are one step closer. You're absolutely right, Producer Phil, to Idiocracy. What was the president's name in Idiocracy? You sent it to me the other day.
Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho.
That's where we're headed, kids. That's where we're headed. I was looking around there. And it's not just going to court. Yesterday we were having lunch at Shakey's, eating our Mojo potatoes, and somebody came in to get an application. Somebody who was not 15 or 16, somebody in their mid-30s. Nasty, raggedy shorts, a tank top, a hat, tennis shoes. I'm amazed. But then I shouldn't be. I think that's the thing. I'm going to stop being amazed at this stuff. I have to be. I have to stop being amazed at this. This is what we have now. This is it. We're so worried about this giant gap between the ultra rich and the average person, right? This chasm that's huge, just massive. Oh my God. Hello. How rich are you? We're worried about that. What we should be worried is the gap between extremely smart with drive and I give up and I'm stupid. And there's a lot more of that. I am amazed. I am. I am shocked at times and I am amazed at how this happens. Like, how do you get to that point where you think it's a good idea to show up in front of a judge in flip-flops and a tank top with basketball shorts, and you're wearing socks? So unless you're German, or to go in for an interview, or to get an application. When I used to go when I was a kid, and I would go apply for a job, or I would go do it, I would come with a tie, with a nice dress shirt. I looked like I wanted the job. And we have gotten to the point now where I don't think people care. And this is the bottom of the barrel, so this is what you get. And it's sad. It is. And then listening to people talk, and you're sitting there, and you can't help but not listen. And it's just I'm just like, wow. You function. That's the thing. How do you function? Maybe I'm being obnoxious. Maybe I'm being a bit stuck up, but how do you function? It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Speaking of amazing, as I was talking about that and jobs, finding a candidate for the right job is tough. I talk to business owners all the time. I'm a business owner myself. I know that when you're looking for somebody, especially when you're looking for the right candidate, you've got a position you need to fill. And it's hard sometimes because you're worried. You get all these applications and you can look through them, whether it's applications or resume, and you're thinking to yourself, nah, nothing. Talk to small business owners. Customers, not as hard to find anymore as good employees. Let me tell you something. I'm working with ZipRecruiter.com, and they'll tell you this. Posting your job in one place isn't enough. You want to catch fish, lots of fish, you got to widen the net. Same thing with when you're looking for employees. So if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. Simple and easy. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your jobs in 100-plus sites, including social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Now, You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Why is that important? You're busy. You're important. You're dealing with clients. You're dealing with customers. You're dealing with other employees. You don't have time to juggle emails or calls to your office. All you got to do is quickly screen calls in candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. And that's important because time is money. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, the listeners to The Chad Benson Show can go to ZipRecruiter.com and post your job for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/reports. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time, Chad Benson Show listeners, go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. Post your job for free. We've talked about the dummies. Let's talk about smart people. Chad Benson Show.
I'll take it. I'll wrap it up. I'll take it. I'll wrap it up. I'll take it.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Here you go, kids. Here's some politics for you. Flynn. Is he General Flynn or Colonel Flynn? General Flynn has been offered the security director role. How about that? Huh? How about that? How about them breaking news?
Breaking news. The Chad Benson Show.
Doodly doot 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 womp womp womp. There we go. So Colonel Flynn has been offered the national security advisor role, I guess. Congratulations to him. Wonder what that pays. Wonder what that pays. Michael Flynn.
That'd be him.
That'd be the man. National Security Advisor job. You're going to advise on security. Congratulations to you. We talked about stupid before we went to the break. Let's talk about smart. What? Let's talk about smart. Interesting study that's come out, done from evolutionary psychologists in Singapore at the Singapore Management University and the London School of Economics and Political Science, found through talking to many young adults, and they concluded that while people genuinely feel happier when they spend time with others, very smart people are the exception to the rule. The study said this could be because of evolution. Smarter people can more easily adapt to their surroundings in the modern world, so they don't need close relationships to help them with food and shelter like ancestors did. But while they said this is true, that people who are brainiacs like to be alone, not always, they're not just shut-ins and stuff, they tend to spend more time with people, which is interesting. They said their theory is smarter people are more aspirational and want to spend more time working towards their goals rather than socializing. But even though that may be true, smarter people tend to socialize more than people who are just average. Very interesting. Very interesting, my friends. I have to say that very much so. Very interesting. Bill and I were, during the break, we were talking about cars, and I read this last week that the manual transmission, your stick shift, only 3% of the cars in America are stick shift. How did you learn to, did somebody teach you, Phil, or did you just go, okay, I got
to
do this?
My oldest brother taught me to drive a stick in his 81 Mustang, which I eventually got as a hand-me-down.
I just learned. My mom bought my first car. We call it the Beige Beaver. It was this ugly brown rabbit that was beige. It was so awful. This is great about this car. That when it rained in Southern California, which is very rarely, but I got it at like my birthday, Christmas time. I was like, you know, 16, 15, 16, like 16 years old. And I just remember, you know, it's like just before I headed off to Europe, and I was my first car. And oh my goodness. If it, cause I got it at winter there, we went through like an El Nino. So when it was rain, I would turn my windshield wipers on, which would cause the stereo to smoke. And then it had a sunroof, right? And I opened it once and it never closed again.
Oh, jeez.
So even when it rained, I'd have to go out and I'd have to put stuff over it. But it was all vinyl on the inside. And it was I just had to learn. My mom's like, I don't know how to drive a stick. So, and my aunt's like, well, you do this. And so I just did it one day. I was like, okay, I have to learn to do this. So I just drove around the neighborhood just peeling out. People thought I was this guy wants to race people. It's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But it's a lost art. Only 3% of the cars in America now are manual. And I had my manual last year and I got rid of it. Because everybody's like, oh, you got to get a better car. Because I had a Saturn and it was awesome. And it was just great. The thing I loved about it too is like anything breaks, it's like so easy to fix comparatively.
It's all GM parts. It was wonderful.
Yeah. And you know, and then I had a bug when Jack was born and it was great. A 65 Chery bug and it was a stick and it was great. It was like Legos. It was amazing. But nowadays, man, you couldn't, I didn't even know if I'd have the patience to teach somebody how to drive a stick. But it's long gone now.
Even the high-end sports car manufacturers are getting away from it.
Yeah, and they're giving you those opportunities, those Tiptronics, where you can shift between the two.
Right.
That's craziness. Solid fun show today. Freaky Freeballin' Friday edition of the Chad Benson Show tomorrow. Guaranteed fun and frivolity everywhere. Check us out on the old Facebook, The Chad Benson Show. You can tweet at me, at Chad Benson Show. Love it when you do. Love it when you do. And text the show. 323-538-2426. For Sick Anthony, for my man Phil, and of course the Czar, my name's Chad Benson. Night, Jack.